My mom used to always tell me that I had selective hearing. I don't know if that's true, but here, which the way she explained that things would sometimes happen. So I, being the youth that I was, I liked to play video games, and so I'd be on my bed, usually, playing whatever it is I had in front of me. And she would come in, and she would ask, "Brett, I need you to wash the dishes," or "Brett, I need you to take the clothes out of the dryer." I was like, I maybe would look at her, or maybe not, and I'd say, "Yeah, okay, Mom." Half an hour passes. She comes back after, you know, I completely ignored her, and according to her, and she would say, "Did you even hear what I had to say?" And I look at her and said, "You said something, Mom?" Yeah. I don't know if you had this experience with kids. Maybe that's just me. This idea of listening, of hearing, it's something I think we know is important. That's why the deafness is actually something that we recognize as an impairment, and that it's something that can be very devastating. And yet, how much is selective hearing a problem? We can think about, you know, maybe between spouses, maybe in a family. You know, I just gave the example of, you know, myself as a child with my parents. Venture to say that's not uncommon, and perhaps even like at work, in the office, at church maybe even. How often do we experience this selective hearing? People who don't really listen. How often do you and I choose not to listen? And perhaps even worse, how often do we choose not to listen to God? You know, at first glance, when we look at this gospel miracle, it may seem strange to us why the people in the crowd would react the way they do. It seems a little too exaggerated. Like, they're like freaking out because this deaf and mute man was healed. So what's going on? Why are they doing that? And the first thing we can point to is that what we see when we look at the first reading along with the gospel is just what we've been talking about before. Like, Jesus is revealing who he is. Isaiah in the first reading is telling us, when you see these signs, the deaf hearing, the mute speaking, all these different signs, like, God is with you. God has come to meet you. So, like, there is that. And that is incredible, and that is beautiful, and it is like the heart of the gospel. But is there more that's going on? Think back. Think about all your knowledge of the Old Testament. Think about everything you know about it. What is one word that seems to pop up over and over again? Hear. Listen. How many times do we hear a prophet or someone telling the people of Israel, "Listen, listen up"? Think about it. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone." Deuteronomy 6, 4. "Listen to the word of the Lord, King of Judah." Jeremiah 22. "Hear the word of the Lord, you nations." Also Jeremiah 31. Hearing, listening is so important. Or perhaps even this, maybe particularly good. "If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you." Wow. That's heavy. Hearing, listening to the word of God is so crucially important for the people of Israel. So important, so much so that the greatest malady of the Old Testament, the greatest disease is deafness. Deafness to the Word of God. That is the greatest curse in the Old Testament. Because it doesn't just cause us not to listen to God, it also even affects how we speak about God. It keeps us from being able to even talk about the Lord, which was Israel's mission, is to, through their lives, to proclaim that the Lord is God. And yet they couldn't do it because they were so often deaf. So often spiritual deafness, not listening to the Word of God, is what makes one spiritually mute. And that's why this deaf man is so important to us. This man who was deaf and mute is the representative to all of the one who does not listen to the Word of God. The one who has shut himself off to God's Word and so cannot even speak. He's the one who stands for all of us at times. Because how many of us here, and I include myself, how many of us are deaf to the Word of God? How many of us truly listen to the Scriptures all the time? How often do we close our ears to what God has to say? How many of us suffer from the spiritual selective hearing? You know, lately, although this is not new, we've been calling people to be missionary disciples. That's been the theme of the diocese lately. The theme of strategic plan has been to bring people to become missionary disciples. Those who hear the Word of God and go out and do something about it. Go out and preach the good news. And yet so many people, I've had these conversations all the time. People come up to me and say, "This all sounds great, but I don't even know how to speak about my faith. I don't know how to talk about these things. I don't have all the answers. How am I supposed to respond when our Protestant brothers and sisters question us? Or when the atheist on the street questions us? I don't have all the answers." Perhaps this spiritual muteness, so to speak, is the result of a spiritual deafness at times. Our Lord is giving us an example here. This deaf and mute man shows us the remedy for our inability to be missionary disciples. Ephatha, be opened. Be opened. If you're sitting out there and you feel like you don't have the confidence to speak to people about the faith, then the call is to be opened. To allow the Lord to open your ears, to allow Him to speak the Word of God to you in a fresh, new way. The church needs evangelizers. The church needs missionary disciples today. And she needs her children, you and I, to open our ears, to listen to the Word of the Lord. How do we do this? How do we really open ourselves to God's Word? And there are two things that we can do. One is always to pray. We say this all the time because it's so important. Prayer is the way that we stay connected to the Word of God, first and foremost. But not just saying words. Many times when we think to go and pray, sometimes it's just us talking and God listening. I know I've done that, been guilty of that a lot. But the prayer that we need is a prayer that shuts up and listens. The kind of prayer where we sit in silence and listen to God speak to us. And the second thing we need is, if We need to know what the Word of God says in order to speak about it. Then maybe we need to read it. We need to read our Bibles. We as Catholics have been accused of not knowing the Bible so often, and so maybe it's time that we prove to everybody wrong. Read the Scriptures. Become familiar with it. Pray with it every day. Study it. Bible studies are great things. You know, I say that because I'm leading one, so I feel like I have to. But you don't have to go to a Bible study to study the Scriptures on your own. Read it. Pray with it. Study it. Become immersed in it. That's how we overcome the muteness. The church needs men and women who are open, who have heard the Word of God, and who are willing to act on it. So don't be content to be spiritually deaf. Ephatha, be open. Amen. So my mom used to tell me all the time that I had selective hearing. I don't know if I believe her, but this is kind of how she explained the story would go. I don't know if this actually happened. But she'd say, so I was a big gamer when I was growing up, so I'd play video games often. So I'd be in my room on my bed, playing whatever video game I had, the new thing that I had. I played a lot of Legend of Zelda. If you don't know what that is, just ask your kids. And she'd come up into my room and say, Brett, I need you to go and wash the dishes. Or Brett, I need you to go take the clothes out of the dryer. And sometimes I'd maybe look at her. Sometimes I'd just stay looking at what I was doing. I was like, okay, Mom. And she'd go away. About an hour passes. She comes back. Brett, why haven't you done what I told you what to do? You said something, Mom? I'm not convinced that this actually happened, but she claims it did. And, you know, maybe some of your parents out there are looking like, mm-hmm. Looking at your kids like, mm-hmm, yeah. The selective hearing. I think, I don't claim that do that, you know. I'll let you be the judge of that. But how familiar are we with this idea of selective hearing? How familiar it is to see, to hear about, couples, spouses who maybe have selective hearing. Or families who have selective hearing. You know, I just gave that story, but how often does that happen with parents and kids? How often does that happen at work? How often does that happen here in the church? We see it in a lot of people. Perhaps we ourselves even suffer from this selective hearing. Perhaps worst of all, maybe we suffer from selective hearing with God. Now, I think when we look at this miracle we see today in the gospel, it can strike us as strange for a couple of reasons. One, if you don't know, the geography they lay out here, Jesus is going out of his way to get to the place he's going. Like, he goes through up north and then down east, which is strange. Why is they making that point? Why are they kind of bringing this miracle out with that? Secondly, why are the people so astonished? What is happening that makes them so astonished? What's going on a deeper level in this miracle? The first thing I think we can see, if we look back at why this gospel and this first reading are paired together, look back at the first reading, and you see Isaiah is pointing out to us, when you see the deaf able to hear, the blind regaining their sight, when you see all kinds of crazy things that don't normally happen, when they're happening, means God is here. Means God is in our midst. And so the first point is that Jesus is again showing us, hey, this is who I am. I am God. But what else is he trying to show us? Is there something more that he wants us to get out of this? We've already seen how he shows us that he is God. What else is he getting at? I want you to think back on whatever knowledge of the Old Testament you have. One of the most frequently used words, can you guess maybe what it is? Listen. Listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Deuteronomy 6. Listen to the word of the Lord, O King of Judah. This is Jeremiah 22. Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations. Jeremiah 31. Hear, listen. Listen to the word of the Lord. This is so repeated over and over again. Or how about this? If you will not listen, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you. That is from the prophet Malachi. I will send the curse upon you. It's heavy. It's heavy stuff. God is making very clear to us in the Old Testament, hearing is crucially important. It is the most important thing that Israel could do and the most important thing for us. And the greatest curse comes from not listening to the Word of God. The greatest disease is not listening to the Word of God. Why? What does it do to us? Israel, if you study your Old Testament, was called to be the light for the people, for the nations. They were supposed to show the Lord is God by listening to him and acting on his word. And when they didn't do that, they were essentially mute. They could not proclaim what they were supposed to proclaim. Spiritual deafness always leads to spiritual muteness. Not listening leads to not proclaiming. This is why the deaf man in our gospel is so important. This deaf and mute man represents for us those who do not listen to the word of God and are unable to proclaim him. Maybe even those of us who are deaf to the word of God. Because how many of us come to church, we hear the word of God, maybe externally, but don't take it to heart? It goes in one ear and out the other. How many of us actually take time out of our day to listen and to study the scriptures, the word of God? How many of us are spiritually deaf? Suffer from spiritual selective hearing. Maybe not all the time, but I know I myself suffer from this at times, being deaf to the word of God. The church today is calling you and I to be missionary disciples. That has been the theme in our diocese for years now. It's the theme of all this planning that we keep talking about. Forming missionary disciples, hearers of the word and doers of the word. And yet many times when we are challenged to go out and to be disciples and to proclaim the gospel, we can ask, and I've heard it many times, I want to do it, but how? I don't have the answers. I can't articulate my faith. I can't talk about it to other people. And when our brothers and sisters from Protestant denominations question us, we say, I don't know how to answer them. Or when the atheist on the street questions us, or maybe the atheist even in our home questions us, say, how do I answer? Perhaps can offer a remedy to that is that maybe we need to have our ears open to the Word of God. Jesus provides us the way forward. He takes this deaf man aside and opens his ears. And that is what he calls us to. Ephatha, be opened. Be opened to the word that he has to give you. If you're sitting out there and you have no idea how you're going to be able to proclaim your faith to others, then might I suggest to pray for an open heart and an open ear. Might I suggest to take the example from our gospel and to allow Jesus to open your ears to his word. Because the church needs you and I today to be evangelizers, to be missionary disciples. The church needs her children to have open ears. Ears listening to God's word and going out and doing God's word. And there are two ways we can learn to open our ears and listen. And the first is what I always harp on, is always the first step, and it is to pray. But not just to pray with words. Many times we get into the habit of just saying words to God, which may be a real prayer, but we don't listen. Prayer needs to be listening. If you are already praying, maybe your invitation this week is to shut up and listen. Maybe that's what God wants you to do this week. And then secondly, if we want to know what the Word of God is, what God is speaking to us, then we need to be familiar with His written Word, the Bible. Too many times have I heard either Protestant friends that I have or Protestant speakers and such, talk about us Catholics as if we don't know the Bible. And maybe they've experienced Catholics where that have proved that true. So maybe it's time for us to prove them wrong. Study the scriptures. Read your Bibles. Pray with them. Especially, I'll emphasize, study them. Because the only way we can overcome our muteness is to overcome the deafness. The church needs you and I to be hearers of the word and doers. She needs you and I to go out and preach it. So don't be content just to stay spiritually deaf. Ephatha, be opened.